As a word of introduction, this is a three-part series on prayer, looking at this narrative section of Isaiah, with the theme idea is the verse from Peter that says, "Be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer," calling the church to sober prayer, not just prayer to have it out there, but focused sober prayer in light of the times. Last week we had the story of Hezekiah. When there was a crisis, the Syrians were coming, and he prayed. And the second time he prayed with confidence, and the Lord answered that prayer in a marvelous way. Today we have a different story, this time a story of healing, a story that actually happened prior to last week's story. Isaiah 38, verse 1. In those days, Hezekiah became mortally ill. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech you, how I have walked before you in truth with a whole heart and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, "Go, say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you in this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken. Behold, I will cause the shadow on the stairway, which has gone down with the sun on the stairway of Ahaz, to go back 10 steps. So the sun's shadow went back 10 steps on the stairway on which it had gone down. Pause. A writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, after his illness and recovery. I said, in the middle of my life, I am to enter the gates of Sheol. I am to be deprived of the rest of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord in the land of the living. I shall look on man no more among the inhabitants of the world. Like a shepherd's tent, my dwelling is pulled up and removed from me. As a weaver, I rolled up my life. He cuts me off from the loom. From day until night, you make an end of me. I compose my soul until morning like a lion. So he breaks all my bones. For day and night, you make an end of me. Like a swallow, like a crane, so I twitter. I moan like a dove. My eyes look wistfully to the heights. Oh Lord, I'm oppressed. Be my security. What shall I say? For he has spoken to me, and he himself has done it. I shall wander about all my years because of the bitterness of my soul. Oh Lord, by these things men live, and all these things is the life of my spirit. Oh, restore me to health and let me live. Lo, for my own welfare, I had great bitterness. It is you who have kept my soul from the pit of nothingness, for you have cast all my sins behind your back. For Sheol cannot thank you, death cannot praise you. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your faithfulness. It is the living who give thanks to you as I do today. A father tells his sons about your faithfulness. The Lord will surely save me. So we will play my songs on stringed instruments all the days of our life at the house of the Lord. Back to narrative. Now Isaiah had said, let them take a cake of figs and apply it to the boil that he may recover. Then Hezekiah had said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? Thus far the reading of his word. I've entitled this, The Shadow on the Stairs. Who among us has not prayed at some point for healing? Hezekiah had a history of faithfulness, of walking with God, and he was not shy about taking his problem to the Lord in prayer. This is a remarkable story, an unusual, really a unique story of answered prayer, where he is not only healed miraculously, but a miraculous sign of God is given. So I want to look at three statements here. I'm looking at the shadow of death, the shadow of the cross, and the shadow of eternal life. So that's just your three-point outline. You don't have to pay attention to it. It's all about the shadow. And in each of these, there's a word from God, a response from Hezekiah, and then something for us to think about. First of all, the shadow of death. A prophecy came from God, from Isaiah, and he comes to Hezekiah and he says, "Set your house in order, for you shall die, not live." Now, that would be a welcome message to anyone, right? No, but it is very unusual. Arguably, the warning is a grace. But as we talk about this warning and think, well, understand who Hezekiah is. Hezekiah is the messianic king. He is the representative of the future Messiah. He is the ancestor of the Messiah. He's the king of the people of God. He happens to be a faithful king. And so what happens to him obviously will have an impact on the whole country. We know from this text and what we read last year that Assyria is encroaching. Assyria is coming, and there's a real threat of Assyria taking them over like they've taken over and are taking over every place else. But he comes, Isaiah comes and says, "This sickness that you have is going to take you out. Get ready." So for those in position of authority, of responsibility, a sickness is even more serious than one who doesn't have responsibility for others. And so I believe the word of God is coming to him really as the king said, "Set your house in order." In my last church, we had a well-known oncologist, a member of our church, played the piano beautifully as well, but leading an oncologist in our city. And we're talking about cancer, and she said, "Well, cancer actually, in most cases, gives you time to get ready and set your house in order." I'd never thought of that. My mom took 12 years, had 12 years of cancer. And, you know, it's true. We don't know the day of our death. Those of us who are past whatever know that, you know, I'm not counting on another 30 years, go figure. Quite a bit less. Well, there's certain things that we can tell just because of our age. But every time we get sick, we think, well, this won't be it or this will be it. We don't know. God doesn't tell us. So when we're told, get your house in order, perhaps it's a good message for all of us, no matter what stage of life or how healthy we are. Be ready to go, ready to stay. That was the attitude of the Apostle Paul. I'm ready to go when God wants to take me. But listen, it's God's choice when we go. If he wanted us to know, he would tell us. He doesn't tell us. We live ready. In a sense, our bags packed for heaven. By the way, you don't have to pack when you go to heaven. That's gospel good news. That's really good news. Now, Hezekiah was probably in his 30s. He probably did not yet have an heir. I mean, I'm looking at this. This is really young. He had already done a lot. But he turns to God and he says, "God, but I've been so faithful to you." He starts arguing with God. "But God, how can you cut me off? I'm so young. I haven't produced an heir yet. Look at the things I've done. I've prepared the defenses of the city. I have called the people back to worship. We have the Passover once again. We are honoring you the way we live. Oh, God." And he wept bitterly. As a child, I wondered why he turned his face to the wall. I still haven't figured that one out. But he just turned in weeping. He's not bold or full of himself at all. He is, in a sense, prostrate before the Lord. Set your house in order is wisdom for us all. I was impressed with the testimony of Nabil Qureshi, who a Muslim who has recently died, but his struggle to come to faith in Christ and all the way counting the cost of what it would mean, he actually was believing, but he was realizing this is going to cause deep pain for me to follow Christ. It's going to be very difficult and painful because of my family and losing my family. But then that made me think all the quickly of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. "Father, if this cup can pass from me," you know, sweating drops of blood, the agony before him, crying out to God. And so here in this shadow of death, there's death hanging over this, a death that really hangs over all of us. But it focuses secondly to the shadow of the cross. Right away, it shows us to Jesus, who ultimately faced death. And in the shadow of the cross, we have an answer from God. he says to Isaiah. In fact, 2 Kings tells us that Isaiah had not even gotten out of the palace before the word of God came and said, go back and tell Hezekiah, okay, I've heard your prayers. I'm going to give you 15 years of life. Now understand this, that this isn't a pattern for our prayers. Now, I've been kind of wrestling with this. It'd be nice to say if you pray, you have faith, and you argue with God, he'll answer your prayer and you'll be fine. This isn't what's happening here. What's happening here is this is the king that God has put there. This is a faithful king. There is trouble coming in terms of Assyria. And God says, no, I'm going to give you 15 more years. I don't know of any other example in Scripture or outside of Scripture where God says, this is how much time you have, except perhaps in the judicial sense, the sentence of death, you know, a condemned person to die. You know, there are examples of that. I'm giving you more time. And Hezekiah's response is, well, he doesn't say, well, thank you, that's good. He says, what'll be the sign? Well, how do I know? When will I go up to the house of the Lord? Now, going up to the house of the Lord, that we find out later that was some kind of a boil that he had. I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to conjecture all the different things that this could mean. I'll leave that to the physicians and medical people. But it was some kind of something that was on the outside of his body that could be seen. And the Old Testament had very strict rules about going into the house of God that you had to be approved if you had a disease like leprosy or a skin disease or some obvious contagious disease. You had to be examined by the priest to see that you were healed. So he says, what will be the sign that I can go up? How will I know that it's okay? In other words, it's a faith question. How will I know that it's okay for me to go back to church? There you go. By the way, after COVID, there's some people that haven't gotten the sign yet, I'm afraid, but they're still scared to come back, maybe. He said, how will I know? And Isaiah said, well, I'll show you a sign. And which you want? Do you want the shatter to go backward or forward? And this, in Kings, it tells us this. And Hezekiah said, well, it's harder for the shadow to, okay, the sun's going down. The shadow's going, so I want the shadow to go down the stairs. Now, have you ever thought about what that would require? How does that happen? Any astronomers here? Any astronomers? Did he switch the world? Or did he move the sun? We don't know. Maybe someday science will... we'll find out how God did it. But the thing is, God did it. A sign. The prophecy indicated you'll go up to the temple on the third day. And there's the sign. And God healed him. But in this, we see really a shadow of the cross, because Hezekiah was healed. But guess what? He died. In 15 years, he died. So this sign was a miraculous sign from God, but it didn't solve the problems. It extended life for him. It answered his prayers. But still there's death, except for the cross. Because the son of Hezekiah, Jesus, way down the road, Jesus came and Jesus took our death, and he died and was buried. And the third day rose again. And this is the gospel. This is the good news, that death has been conquered by Jesus Christ. So yes, shadow of death hangs over us all who are human. But the shadow of the cross is what brings us hope. Brings us hope because Jesus went through death for us. He became alive so that those who are in Christ, when we die, then we will come to life and be forever with him. His healing is full, complete, and everlasting. And though Hezekiah's experience of praying and getting a result, knowing exactly how long he has to live, praying and knowing how long more he's going to be living, that is really unique even in the Bible. But that you and I can have eternal life and assurance of eternal life is for all of us through Jesus. But our last point is the shadow. There's a shadow here of eternal life. When Isaiah says, and this shall be the sign. It reminds me of another phrase that he used that in another place, talking about the virgin birth in Isaiah chapter 7. And this shall be the sign. A sign of God doing something that is outside of nature, that is outside of what is ordinary, that is in fact impossible unless God does it. And I realize science doesn't like the idea of a God who can do things that we don't understand. And maybe we learn and we can understand, we can discover how he did it perhaps, or how he does things. But we always come to a point where God is the creator. He created life and he conquers death and ushers into eternal life. It also foreshadows the work of the word of the angels, say, for this should be the sign for you. You shall find a babe lying in a manger, clothed, wrapped in swaddling clothes. It all points to Jesus. The whole Bible keeps pointing us to Jesus. All these stories are saying, look, it all comes down to Jesus, who he is. Is he the Son of God? Yes. Did he conquer death? Yes. And so we read the response of Hezekiah. That was that second part. He talks about how he was mourning, how he was in bitterness, how his life was going to be cut off, how he was lamenting the end of life, how he was struggling. But they said, but God has cast all my sins behind his back. God has delivered me. God has answered me. And so he is full of praise and thanksgiving to God for rescuing him and giving him more time to live. He said, I will sing praise to him. I will sing my song on stringed instruments. And he says in verse 19, it's the living who give thanks to you. God, you kept me alive to give praise to you. By the way, that's the same argument of Psalm 30 that we read a section of. He says, David said, when I had it all together, when I thought everything was good, and then I realized my life was about to be cut off. And then he argued, but God, if I'm dead, how can I praise you? But I'm alive to praise you. And this makes sense. God has done it. God does things for us and we're full of thanksgiving and joy until the next thing comes along and we forget. Now what's sad here is a couple of things that Hezekiah said, this is good. 15 years, I'll have peace in my days. Now, y'all, that bothers me. If God were to tell me that I'm going to live to a ripe old age of whatever, and there'll be good things in my days, but my grandkids are going to go through hell, would I be happy? Would I? So this bothers me about Hezekiah. Well, it's going to be okay in my days. And then we're told another place, these words from 2 Chronicles. But Hezekiah gave no return for the benefit he received because his heart was proud. Now that really bothers me. A great story of a healing. God healed all that's so wonderful. I will give thanks all my days, but he didn't. For a while, he did. He gave no return. He was comfortable. He was comfortable. His life was okay. He had plenty to eat. There were crises and everything, but God was bringing him through these crises. And we'll see next week that he was really pretty much self-confident, just kind of cruising on to cruise his days to the end, but he gave no return for the blessing. The shadow on the stairs, a proof that God turns earth or turns heaven to bring salvation to us. Happy for a moment, but no return for God's blessing. Now, it isn't like you've got to pay back God. It doesn't say that. But a heart of thanksgiving and praise, of continual worshiping, of growing. Something kind of hit me this week. I read something about the life of a church, and I'm thinking like, well, I'm making it kind of personal. Are we being transformed? Romans, I appeal to you, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your heart as a living sacrifice to God. Do not be what? Conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Are we being renewed? Are we being transformed? Or are we just holding the fort, so to speak, spiritually? And see, that's a challenge. That's a challenge we can hide. Since I'm facing retirement, this is like, I'm scared to death. But, you know, I've had to show up at work, some kind of work, for 50 years. Actually longer at work, but what does it mean to be continually transformed? Are we still being changed? Are we growing in Christ? What kind of return are we giving to God for all his benefits to us? So this is a wonderful story of God's grace, of God's love, of God's caring for us, of God's hearing our prayers, of God delivering us out of all kinds of distresses and difficulties and even life-threatening events. And he saves us and delivers us, and we're happy and we're grateful. No return, just kind of. So I'll leave it with that. This call to sober prayer, I think that's what Scripture is talking about. The kind of prayer we need is not just the typical ordinary prayer, but the prayer that God would continue to be wrestling with us, wrestling with our soul, that we would be struggling in a positive sense to the day we draw our last breath with a great relief, home. May God give us confidence in prayer. May he give us boldness even in prayer, but courage that's based on the victory of Christ and a life that continues giving return, praising God, worshiping God, growing in our love and our obedience to him. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you for the good news of your good salvation. Thank you that you hear our prayers. Thank you that you are patient with us, our ups and our downs. Thank you that you rescue us again and again, but the big rescue is at the cross. Thank you for drawing our hearts to trust you. And for any listening to this, anyone listening to this message whose heart has not been conquered by your grace, may this word even penetrate to show who you are and what you've done for us in Jesus and how you call us to eternal life. And you've demonstrated it throughout history and even now by your Spirit. And so cause us to be conformed increasingly to the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We stand for the benediction. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forever. Amen.